Good morning. This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. Today I'm going to read an essay that I found in a quarterly magazine, Wings, a publication of the Xerces Society for Invertebrate Conservation. Today I'm reading about fireflies and what they need to thrive. The author is Richard Joyce, an endangered species biologist with the Xerces Society. Learn more about Xerces at xerces.org. That's spelled xerces.org. It's an international organization dedicated to protecting the natural world by conserving invertebrates and their habitat. They're all about insects. In their 2021 annual report, they write, "We work day in and day out to make our landscape safer for these vital animals. To reverse the decline in insects, we need to protect nature that remains, restore nature that is degraded, and replicate nature as best we can in as many places as possible. In short, we need to repair and maintain the fabric of life." Unquote. The essay is called "Embracing the Dark. Insects need the night, and so do we." And here's Richard Joyce. "Fireflies transformed my relationship to darkness. At some level, I knew that artificial light at night affects insects, but focusing my attention on fireflies as a conservation biologist at Xerces has made me notice light pollution and crave darkness in, well, a new light. Last year, I conducted more than 20 nighttime firefly surveys in 5 states. As part of each survey, I scanned the habitat and skyline for sources of artificial light. I found that in some form or another, it was nearly ubiquitous. At the edge of a pond in the Blue Ridge Mountains in South Carolina, I saw a sky glow above the tree line, a yellow haze from towns in the distance, a lit-up sign welcoming tourists to a coastal Florida town shone like a beacon into the otherwise dark mangrove swamp. In a salt marsh in Delaware, streetlights at a boat ramp and floodlights at a marina shone like outsized planets on the horizon. In a county park in Georgia, lights in the neighboring streets and houses scattered jagged patches of yellow and white onto shrubs and the forest floor. At times I had to squint or avert my gaze from glare, the harsh direct light from vehicle headlights or illumination spilling from a poorly shielded streetlight. I still found fireflies during these surveys, often rare habitat specialist species, but I couldn't help but wonder how the encroaching artificial light was affecting these bioluminescent beetles. And where is the tipping point, the level of artificial light at which the night simply becomes too bright for fireflies? For insect lovers like myself, artificial lights are both a boon and a source of worry. A porch light can gather fantastic creatures at our fingertips, moths of all shapes and sizes, shiny beetles, mysterious wasps, and indeed, light traps are an important tool for studying the diversity and abundance of certain insect groups. It is hard to imagine mothing as an activity without the help of lights, but lights across our landscapes are doing insects a disservice, causing disorientation and distraction. There is research that indicates that lights may disrupt monarch butterfly migration by triggering movement at night when the butterflies would otherwise be resting. While positive phototaxis, or flight-to-light behavior, is one of the more obvious impacts of artificial light on insects, it's worth noting that the opposite, being repelled away from lights, or even an indifference to artificial light, being neither attracted to nor repulsed by it, have their own negative effects. Repulsion can reduce the area of habitat that is effectively available to a species, and indifference can lead to insects remaining in areas where their survival and reproductive rates are affected by increased predation or ineffective courtship behavior. In the past year, I have repeatedly turned to the research and writing of Avalon Owens, a biologist who recently completed her PhD dissertation at Tufts University on the impacts of nighttime artificial light on fireflies. She has placed firefly pairs in chambers with varying amounts of artificial light to see whether they will mate, put fireflies under lights of different colors to see whether they will flash, and marked fireflies with fluorescent powder to see whether they move away from artificially illuminated areas of a field. She has found that artificial light can dramatically interfere with firefly behavior, but also that not all firefly species respond equally, and that effects on fireflies depend partly on the intensity and color of light. Fireflies whose courtship displays happen at dusk, for example, seem to be relatively tolerant of artificial light and may even extend their display period in areas where light pollution leads to nights of perpetual twilight. In contrast, fireflies that display later in the evening are likely less adaptable to excess light in their habitats. Owens and her colleagues have also sifted through the growing mountain of literature and have laid out mechanisms by which artificial light affects the lives and deaths of insects, often using fireflies as case studies. The negative effects include disruptions to navigation, circadian rhythms, and recognition of visual cues, increased vulnerability to predation, and desensitized vision. While we are still learning about how nocturnal insects see the world, we can also make a few generalizations. Like humans, diurnal insects such as bees and butterflies tend to have three types of color receptors, whereas many nocturnal insects, including fireflies, mosquitoes, and cockroaches, seem to have just two, trading color discernment for better night vision. Moths, which may be day or night active, usually have three. Most insects can see a similar range of colors as we do, but also ultraviolet, the shorter wavelength light that is invisible to humans. Compared to other wavelengths, ultraviolet light tends to have the strongest pull on nocturnal insects for reasons that we still don't fully understand. On the other end of the light spectrum, most insects are either unable to see the longer red wavelengths or are relatively insensitive to them. Fireflies and moths see the world differently from the way that humans do, but we can still empathize with how detrimental light pollution can be for them. If you've ever been temporarily blinded by headlight glare, had your sleep disrupted by the blue glow of a computer screen, or gotten a headache from a flickering overhead lamp, you know that the wrong amount of light at the wrong time and in the wrong place can harm your health and happiness. Imagine starting a conversation with a romantic interest, only to have one or both of your voices drowned out by loud noise or competing conversations. Is that the frustration a firefly feels when its courtship light signal is lost in a flood of artificial light? Just as with humans, the hormone melatonin plays an important role in regulating the circadian rhythms of insects, letting them know when to seek refuge and rest, when to forage, and when to find a mate. Melatonin is produced in response to darkness, but is regulated by exposure to blue, shorter wavelength, light, which is becoming more abundant at night due to the proliferation of cool white LEDs. At the scale of years and months, insects also use day length, photo period, and moonlight as cues for the timing of developmental and reproductive processes. When those cues are altered or obscured, the calendars that they have evolved to follow get thrown off. Sources of artificial light may vary greatly in the mix of wavelengths that they emit, and their ecological impacts have changed over the years as lighting technology has evolved. While LED bulbs tend to give off much less heat than their predecessors, leading to fewer moths being toasted by sizzling streetlights. Their extreme brightness, broad spectrum of wavelengths, and significant short wavelength component mean that they are more visible to and more disruptive of many different organisms. LED bulbs have notable benefits from reducing energy use and cost that make them a distinct step forward from older bulbs, though their efficiency and low cost means that it is cheaper than ever to dilute the darkness. So where to begin in tackling the issue of light pollution and its impact on insects? It can help to start small and work outward. Step outside after dark and look at your home or workplace. Light is often necessary for safety, security, and convenience, but does illumination extend to places where it serves little or no purpose? Are lights reaching natural areas or visible from them? Are porch lights shielded and turned on only when needed, perhaps with the aid of a timer or motion sensor? Can you use bulbs that are dimmer or less white? Does the string of lights around your patio need to be on all night? Are decorative lights limited to those parts of your garden and to the seasons where their impacts on wildlife will be minimized? Do you need to install curtains or remember to close them so that indoor light stays inside? It is important to treat darkness as the renewable but finite and sensitive resource that it is. Addressing light pollution and its harmful ecological effects will, however, require action beyond our homes and yards. A growing number of towns and counties have adopted lighting regulations and building codes that aim to minimize sky glow, glare, and light trespass, the shining of light beyond its intended target. Are the policies in your community and region adequate? Are they keeping pace with changing technologies? Do they take into consideration the nuanced impacts of light pollution on wildlife, in addition to its effects on people? Sometimes the barriers to darker nights are simply design problems, but human psychology and sociology matter too, helping people, all people, feel safe. Without brightening the night is just as important as developing technical and regulatory solutions. The good news is that there is increasing recognition of the importance of protecting the night as people realize what is at stake. Astronomers have long been vocal about light pollution diminishing the view of the night sky, and there are already established efforts to reduce light impacts. In Florida, for example, coastal communities are using public education campaigns, local ordinances, and red filters to prevent hatchling sea turtles from crawling inland instead of toward the ocean. The state has more firefly species than any other, and it would be simple to expand these approaches to help insects. Lights Out initiatives are taking hold in cities across the country, with skyscrapers and other structures voluntarily dimming or shielding lights to protect birds during migration. In New York City, even the World Trade Center Memorial participates. These efforts, while still somewhat incipient, help to raise public awareness and to demonstrate what might be possible with attention, collective will, and creative engineering. It is important that we harness the momentum of these actions to further protect darkness and the insects that rely on it. And then at the end of this article, it says, Richard Joyce is an endangered species conservation biologist with Xerces. He collaborates with researchers, land managers, and community scientists to drive firefly conservation efforts, and he coordinates the Firefly Atlas. You can look up the Firefly Atlas online and learn about that. They have volunteers all around the country who are documenting firefly populations. And I thought of the Kickapoo Reserve and their dark sky involvement. And they say, dark sky parks are locations known for outstanding views of the night sky. The Partnership for Dark Sky Designation, the Kickapoo Valley Reserve, Wildcat Mountain State Park, and Mississippi Valley Conservancy are excited to announce that they are working together to designate the 13,300 acres of KVR, Wildcat, and the Tunnelville Cliffs as Wisconsin's second International Dark Sky Park. The International Dark Sky Association awards this distinction to land possessing an exceptional or distinguished quality of starry nights and a nocturnal environment that is specifically protected for its scientific, natural, educational, cultural heritage, and/or public enjoyment. The application process requires a sky quality survey, lighting inventory, and management plan, community partners, and education and outreach. The public land along the Kickapoo River in Vernon County has been known for years for fantastic night sky viewing. We are excited to have them join the nearly 200 designated international dark sky places around the world. The Kickapoo Valley Reserve occasionally hosts stargazing workshops. Please consult the KVR calendar for upcoming events or sign up for the monthly upcoming events email. This is Maggie Jones, wishing you a dark and starry night this summer, many of them.